All right, good evening, everyone. Let us begin. So we're going to depart from our normal course of events of studying Sefer Tehillim to do something a little bit different this week, because this week we have an incredibly unique opportunity. An opportunity that doesn't come about so often, and so as such, when it does, it behooves us to delve a little bit deeper to find a little bit of greater meaning. This week we have the incredible privilege, Emir Tashem, to be able to celebrate Purim Katan. So we know that, again, this is a leap year, and as such, again, we have two Adars, Adar Aleph, Adar Beis. Just a word about the Jewish leap year. Remember, again, when is it that we have a leap year, or why do we have a leap year? So remember, again, what's interesting about the Torah, what's interesting about Yiddishkeit, is that on one hand, we have a lunar calendar. But yet, interestingly enough, our Yomim Tovim are connected to the seasons. So every once in a while, this could pose a little bit of a problem, specifically with the Yom Tov of Pesach. Because Torah calls Pesach Chag HaAviv, which is again the spring holiday, right? The spring Yom Tov. The problem, of course, is that sometimes, depending on how the calendar falls out, so Pesach could fall out while it's still winter. So there's a built-in mechanism to be able to address that, and that's every year. That's a leap year, and that's why again the only month that we ever add in is only Adar. And again, so before the calendar was fixed, remember again, now the calendar was fixed as we have it today by Hillel Hasheni. But before the calendar was fixed, if Chazal saw that Pesach was going to quote-unquote fall out early, so to speak, so they would go ahead and add a second Adar in order to balance out Pesach and ensure that Pesach actually fell out in the springtime. So Adar is always the swing month. Adar is always the leap month that we add in, or ultimately, again, we leave alone. And as such, there is a fascinating discussion, as we're going to get to in just a little bit, because this Friday is the 14th of Adar Aleph. This Shabbos is the 15th of Adar Aleph. So remember again, next month, this time, we'll Emirat Hashem be celebrating Purim and Shushan Purim. So what is the relevance, what is the meaning, and what is the profundity of these coming days on this Friday and this Shabbos? So take a look at number one, the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Shulchan Aruch writes, Yom Yudalid V'Tesav Sheva Adar Rishon Ein Noflin Al Pneihem. So the first thing the Shulchan Aruch says is that on the 14th and 15th of Adar Aleph, of Adar Rishon, we do not say Tachnun. Now remember again, what's Tachnun? Tachnun is also referred to as Nefilas Apayim. Right? Literally again, falling, Nefilas Apayim literally means falling down on your face. Over the course of davening, we assume different physical positions, right? We sit, we stand, and technically speaking, when we recite Tachanun, there's prostration. Now remember again, in the Beis Hamikdash, there was a concept of Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, literal prostration. Well, of course, we make reference to this where in Yom Kippur Davening, right? Yom Kippur Davening, Chazar Sashatz by Musaf. So remember again, we go through the entire Avodah, the entire sacrificial service of the Kohen Gadol. And remember again, what do we read? We read that when the Kohen Gadol would recite the Shem HaMafurash, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayukal Am Korim Umishtachavim Umodim V'Noflim Al Pneihem. So the idea is we fall in the Beis HaMikdash, there's Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we are not allowed to prostrate ourselves like that. Now, technically speaking, the prohibition of prostration, don't worry, this is not the whole shiur. I know it's not that riveting, right? But the whole topic of prostration ultimately is really on a stone floor. So technically speaking, on carpeting, a person could prostrate. But the minhag is we don't even prostrate on a covered floor, which is why even for those who bow during Aleinu, the custom is to put some, during Yom Noraim, the custom is to put something down on the ground so that you're not bowing directly on the ground itself. So we have a remembrance, so to speak, to this concept of prostration with Tachnun. So Tachnun, Nefilas HaYadayim, that way over the course of davening, we're sitting, we're standing, we're prostrating. What's the tone of Nefilas HaYadayim? The tone of Tachnun is one of desperation. Vayomer David al Gad, Sar li ma'od, right? Too much. Life is overwhelming. Life is difficult. Life is challenging. So Nefilas HaYadayim, Tachnun is the tefillah ultimately, again, of almost like profound and overwhelming desperation. So what's interesting is, you'll find many times in halacha that we don't recite Tachanun on certain days. So remember, in halacha, whenever you see that we don't recite Tachanun, what does that tell you? That it's a happy day, or at least it's a day of amplified joy. It may not be a Yom Tov, right? It may not be an actual Yom Tov, But clearly it's different than any other day, and that it has some level of amplified simcha associated with it. So the first thing the Shulchan Aruch tells us is Yom Yudavut HaSosha Adar Rishon Ein Nofna Apneim. On the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon, we do not recite Tachanun. So already out of the gate, we're beginning to see that this day obviously has some element, or these days have some element of amplified simcha. We don't say Kapitel Chav, chapter 20, until Natzeach Mizmor LeDavid. Yancha Hashem Yom Tzara. Remember, because we don't recite that capital, that chapter, on any day that also has amplified happiness, because the day makes reference to a day of tzara, a day of sadness, a day of difficulty. So we remove that as well. Okay? The Aser Behesped of Tainus, and we don't deliver eulogies, and we don't fast. Aval Shar Dvarim Eino Agin Bahem. But nothing else applies in these days. What does it mean nothing else doesn't apply in these days? That on, let's say, Purim, what we call Purim Katan, or Shushan Purim Katan, there's no Shalach Manas, there's no Matanas Le'Avionim, there's no Mikra Megillah, right? All the other mitzvos associated with Purim do not apply on these days in Adar Aleph. So essentially, what you begin to see from a halachic perspective is, we pretty much remove the things associated with sadness. So we'll take out Tachanun. We'll take out Kapitel Chav, chapter 20 from Davening. We won't eulogize. We won't fast. But at the same time, the positive mitzvos associated with Purim, again, Matanas Levyonim, gives to the poor, Mishloach Manos, food packages, one to the other, Mikra Megillah, reading of the Megillah, those don't appear in Adar Aleph. Okay. Veishomrim, others explain that you're even allowed to deliver a eulogy and that you are even allowed to fast. So watch this. Second line in source number one, the end line, Haga. Haga means a note. So just very quickly, the Shulchan Aruch was written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, who was a Sephardic rabbi. Rav Moshe Israelis comes along in the 1600s in Krakow, Poland, and decides that Ashkenazic Jews also deserve a codified form of halacha, even though we had other codified forms of halacha, but he didn't have to write over the entire Shulchan Aruch, because contrary to popular opinion, Ashkenazim and Sfardim agree on most of halacha. So what the Ramah did is, pretty much, whenever Ashkenazic practice differs from Sfardic practices, the Ramah added in a footnote. A footnote. That footnote is called the Haggah. So whenever you see Haggah in Shulchan Aruch, that's the Ramah's note. So here the Ramah comments. V'aminug kisvar harishon. The first thing the Ramah says is the minug is that we don't deliver eulogies and we do not fast on the 14th and 15th of Adar Aleph. Now watch this. Yesh omrim shechayiv laharbos b'mishteh v'simcha b'yidal sheva Adar Rishon. So the Ramah says, and some say that you should have, that you should go ahead and have a seuda. Should have a su'uda on Adar Rishon. Now, it's interesting. He writes over here on Yudalid and not on Tesvav. So it's interesting that, again, we observe. So the Ramah writes that you should observe what we call Purim Katan, which is Friday, Sun Friday. You should observe Purim Katan and you should have a nice celebratory su'uda. Doesn't have to go necessarily as far as the actual Purim su'uda, but one should make a nice su'uda for Purim Katan. Ve'ein no'agin kein. Then the Ramah says, but we don't paskin this way. So in other words, some say you should, but you don't have to. But look what he writes. Umika makom, yirbe kitsas b'su'uda, kedei lotzei sidi ha-machmirim. But the Ramah writes, but one should have a little bit of a su'uda. In other words, so the first opinion that the Ramah quotes says essentially that you're like, come on, make up your mind already, right? So the first opinion that the Ramah quotes is that on Purim Katan, you should have a regular Purim su'uda. Again, doesn't have to be necessarily with the drinking, but it's more a focus ultimately, again, on the celebratory nature of just having a nice meal. Then the Ramah says, nah, but we don't paskin that way. You don't have to have a special celebratory meal on Purim Katan. But, however, have a little bit of a nicer meal. Yarbe kitsas b'su'uda. Go ahead and have a little bit of a nicer meal than you would normally have. Kedei lotzeis yedea machmirim. In order to go ahead and satisfy all opinions. And look how he ends. V'tov leiv mishteh tamid. And the truth is, says the Ramah, you know what? It's always good to be happy. Literally, tov leiv mishteh tamid, a good person, or again, goodness of heart comes from always being in a state of simcha. In other words, what the Ramah says is, kind of upon further reflection, it's never a bad idea to have a beautiful celebratory meal. Right? Okay, obviously, except for the days when you're not allowed to have them. But other than that, again, Tov Leiv Mishta Tamid. Okay, so this is the halacha. This is what the halacha tells us about Purim Katan, about these days ahead of us on Friday and Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah comments over here. He says, Mikom Makom Yarba. So he writes over here, V'hagos Tashbeitz Kasav V'yesh Laharbo. So Mishnah Berurah quotes other opinions to say, no, on Purim Katan, really one should celebrate. Now again, to be clear, right, there's no Megillah, there's no Mishloach Manos, there's no Matanos Lev Yoram, there's no dressing up, there's no mitzvah to drink, but the point that they're making over here is that there is a concept of celebration on Purim Katan, that one should go out of their way to have a celebratory meal. Listen to this, Rabbi Yechiel Miparis, Rogel Laharbos Ulahazmin B'nei Adam. Rabbi Yechiel Miparis was one of the early Tosafists. He made sure to have a Seudah and invite people. He would invite people to join in his suuda. And the Mishnah Berurah says, that's why the Ramos brings down. He says, the truth is, yeah, you should celebrate a little bit more on Purim Katan. At the end of the day, in order out of covet for the nace of Purim, the miracle of Purim that occurred during these days. Okay, so this is it, right? Anything and everything you ever wanted to learn about Purim Katan, I just gave you in sources 1 and 2. That's it. There's no more information. That's the totality of what halacha has to say about it. And how do you now feel about Purim Katan? How do you feel about it?
We celebrate it.
Good. That's a good takeaway message. The truth is, you come out of this, there is one simple fundamental question which remains unanswered, which is, what's going on over here? It's not Purim. I'll give you a perfect proof. Let's say you decide, you know what? To me, it is so much more convenient to have Purim on a Friday than it is to have Purim on a Sunday. So I have a great idea. You know what? This Friday, I'm going to read Megillah, give Shaluch Manis, Matanos Lev Yomnin, be done with it. That's I'm going to get a head start on my Pesach prep. Right? So when everyone is running around with Shaluch Manis on Sunday at Purim, I'm going to be kashering and turning over the kitchen. Right? Chas v'shalom rachmanos on lo aleinu. Right? But again, so you can't do that. You can't do that. Why can't you do it? Because at the end of the day, it's not Purim. So what's going on over here? Adar Aleph, Purim Katan, this Friday, which is Yudalit Adar, and then Shabbos, which is Tesvav Adar, it's not Purim. It's Adar Aleph, it's a different month. And again, if you were for some reason to celebrate Purim on these days, you would not fulfill your obligations. So what's going on over here? But yet again, what do you see in the halacha? You see, the halacha is, no, you have to celebrate these days. You have to celebrate. How much do you have to celebrate? Do you need a meal? Just a little something extra? That's a machlokas. But one thing is clear, no one is saying tachanun, right? No one is saying tachanun, even eulogies. The custom is not to deliver eulogies on Purim Katan. The custom is not to fast on Purim Katan, right? So again, even if you don't adopt, let's say the positive celebratory aspects of the day, it is clear that everyone agrees that you have to go ahead and divest yourself of anything that is associated with sadness on these days, which by definition indicates to us that these days do have some element of simcha. So what's the simcha of Purim Katan? And again, by extension, what is our avoda? We have these days coming up, this Friday and this Shabbos. So what is it that we are supposed to do with these days of Purim Katan? So I want to share with you something amazing. Take a look at number 3. In the Sefer Sif Sechein, he writes over his house. He says, Ve'inyanohu. Here's how we understand Purim Katan. Dihine, Mereshes Habriya, Chilek Hashem Yisparach Es Hashana L'Shneim Asar Chadoshim. So we know, again, I'm in the right-hand column in source number 3. HaKadosh Baruch Hu split up the year into 12 months. V'sider l'chol chodesh hanhaga miyuchedes u'skula miyuchedes. This, by the way, happens to be a beautiful thought in general. Every month of the Jewish calendar has its own avoda. There's something different that we're supposed to focus on, something different that we're supposed to work on every single month of the year. Kimavur b'sefer yitzira, k'dei shebechol chodesh yis'amei tza'ad b'tikun mida'achos, hashayach b'miyuchel l'chodesh hazeh. Every month we're going to see that he has two components. Every month has some behavior, positive behavior, that I'm supposed to inculcate within myself. And every month also has something that I'm supposed to work on to try to remove from myself. And every month has its own unique avoda. Vim, yashlim atzal ba'avodas tikun amida azos. This is such a beautiful idea. And if you work hard and you work on the particular midah of the month and you are successful in that month, then that success follows you throughout the entire year. So first of all, just what a beautiful thought, right? What a beautiful thought. You know, we make the mistake often of kind of looking at life or as time just as like an uninterrupted continuum. Right? But the truth is, one of the beautiful parts in Yiddishkeit is that time is very much a disrupted continuum. In other words, every segment of time has a different avodah associated with it. Every month has its own unique and distinct mission. And my job is to identify what the mission of the month is and ultimately to be successful in the mission. If I could find success in a particular month, that success follows me throughout the rest of the year. He says, for example, so he says, for example, Pesach, bless you. What's the essence of Pesach? And by extension, the essence of Chodesh Nisan. Nisan is the month to work on Emunah. Right? Because Pesach, is all about Emunah. Remember again, we don't think about this often, but remember again, Kadosh Baruch Hu says about Klal Yisrael, Zacharti Lach Chesed Nu'urayich Avas Kilu Losayach. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I remember the love of our youth. It's such a beautiful image. Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks about Klal Yisrael, you know, when we were young and we were in love, right? When we were young, when we were in love, what was it like? Lech Teich Acharai Bamidbar Lo Zeruah. You know, when you're in love, you'll follow that person you're in love with anywhere, right? Wherever you go, I go. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes you see this, and you see this specifically with a husband and wife, like in those initial stages in the marriage, it doesn't matter like where you're living. It doesn't matter how big or how small, you know, the apartment is. It doesn't matter if you got all of your dishes or you got, or I should say it differently. It used not to matter, right? Maybe it's a little bit different, right? Once upon a time, it didn't matter, right? But why? Because when you're with someone you love, who cares? Who cares about the rest of it? It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. I'm with the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. Everything else is simply a detail. And it's beautiful. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about us. He says, I remember Zacharti Lachesed Nu'urayich Ahavas Kilulo Sayich. I remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu says when we were young, we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, we were young and in love. And what happens when we were young and in love? Lech Teich Acharai Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah. I said to you, my beloved, let's go. And we asked where? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the desert. And we said, okay. Okay, right? That didn't happen a couple of years later, right? And that didn't, after, unfortunately, sometimes the love of youth wears off, unfortunately, at some point, and that's when all the other details become, so it's incredibly beautiful that Pesach is the Yom Tov of Emunah, and Chodesh Nisan is the month of Emunah. Because if you think about it, we often focus on the month of Pesach about everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, which of course is incredible. What we also have to focus on is what Kivyachol we did for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what did we do for Hashem? We put our complete faith in Him. So Nisan is the month of Emunah. We'll come back to this. We'll come back to this in Nisan Amir Hashem. Skip down to the middle column, the second paragraph. Hukimokain, Inyan Hatzar Al Chuban Beis Hamikdash, Setzarecha Adam Liskar Es Yushalayim B'chol Hashana. So remember, he says, for example, then there's Chodesh Av. What is Av about? What's right? What's the avodah of Av? The avodah of Av is to feel the pain of loss. To feel the pain of loss of the Beis HaMikdash, of loss of connection, of loss. It's almost as if to a certain degree, it's almost as if Av and Nisan are almost like opposites, right? That whereas Nisan is this incredible month of togetherness of Emunah, Av is this overwhelming month of separation. This overwhelming month of tsar, of destruction. Skip down, to the left-hand paragraph. Kimohu, and by the way, the Sefer Yetzirah does this for every single month. Every month has its own avoda, Every month has its own midah. I'm going to focus on this a little bit more as we kind of go forward, because it's a wonderful and incredible and overwhelming way to almost like track your own personal growth. I know what I have to do in this month. I got to make a plan for the month. Right here are the metrics I have to meet. So look at the left-hand column, last paragraph. Kenu, b'midas ha-simcha v'ha-schok ha-miyuchedes l'chodesh Adar. So what's the avod of Adar? What's the avod of Adar? The avod of Adar is simcha and schok. What's schok? What's schok?
Laughter.
Laughter. You know, we're going to talk about this more. We're going to talk about this more in Yiras Hashem when we get to our pre-Purim shir, which is not tonight. This is our Purim Katan shir, right? But we'll get to Purim and we'll talk about the idea of Inachim Siksat. They said, you know, like sometimes like, and I don't know why this is, but sometimes like the metric of a person's Judaic seriousness is by how miserable they look, right? Like, you know, like the more serious and unhappy you look, whoa, that person's really stark, you know, right? They don't look like they've had any fun for the last 10 years. Wow, mamish, a tzaddik or a tzaddikas. Rabbi Nachman writes about the idea of schok, about laughter, and how sometimes even silly laughter brings a person close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not to be confused with frivolousness. Those are two very different things. You know, I'll give you just like a mashlama davadomer. You know, like sometimes if you think about the times that you've laughed hardest in life, usually it's not because someone made a joke, right? Jokes are funny. Usually it's something that like happened that was just funny. That was just, I don't mean funny at someone else's expense. I just mean like, it was just something that hit you in a certain way and you just couldn't stop laughing. Often those type of things maybe occur with family or close friends. If somebody were looking at you from the outside, they would think that what? Great. That you've lost it. And meanwhile, you've never felt, that's schok. And there's a power to schok. There's a cathartic, again, we'll talk about this when we get to Purim, Yiras Hashem. But the Sefer Yetzirah writes that the avoda of Adar is simcha. That's the avoda. The avoda of Adar is to figure out how to become happy. Look at this line. Because the mitzvah of simcha is the most important thing you need in your service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more than any other midah. Wow. There is nothing a Yid needs more in life to be successful in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Simcha. Without Simcha, you have nothing. With Simcha, you could potentially have everything. U'mitzvah gedola li'os b'simcha tamid, borrowing the line from Rabbi Nachman, ki b'li koach b'simcha v'chedva kol kach, ad shi'yeh bo dai simcha al kol ha'shana, so therefore, again, what's the goal of Adar? The goal of Adar, listen to this. Remember, like every month has its midah. The goal is work on that midah, accumulate what you need of that midah, and that is going to take you, that is going to sustain you throughout the entire year. So therefore, again, the Sifsechin writes, according to Sefer Yetzirah, the avoda of the month of Adar is simcha. We'll leave schok for now, is simcha. The ability to go ahead and accumulate simcha, generate simcha, create simcha, and then Amir Hashem, that simcha could carry you throughout the year. Now watch this, we're not finished. Turn the page. One more piece. Here we go. So now, which then raises the interesting question, which is, this is a beautiful idea. So how do I fit this into a month where I have two Adars? Right, so now I have Adar Aleph, Adar Beis. So what's the hashkaf of this? Look what he writes. So pu'ulas shnei chadashim. So therefore, what is the role of two others? Listen to how incredible this is. Kevan shi efshar lahagia l'simcha amitis b'pamachas. It is impossible to become instantaneously happy. Ki im b'hadraga la'at la'at. Simcha is a process. Simcha, happiness, joy does not unfold. Poof. It's la'at la'at. It's a little at a time. Bahadraga, in steps. Mikodem bebechinas katnus, v'achakak bebechinas gadlus. First, you take small steps towards Simcha, and then you take larger steps towards Simcha. Kima ola al gabe sulam. So beautiful. He's like, Simcha is like climbing a ladder. Like climbing a ladder. She efshar lahagia lama'ala ha'alyona, rak im ya'ala mikodim ala shlivus shalamata. Right? It's interesting. Was there a big difference between stairs and ladders, or steps and ladders? The big difference? Steps or stairs, you could scale them more than one at a time. Right? You could take, depending on how long your legs are, right? You could take 2 steps at a time, 3 steps at a time. A ladder, can't do it. Can't do it. A ladder is one rung at a time. So the Sisachin says, Simcha is not like a set pair, is not like stairs, not like a staircase. Simcha is like a ladder, one rung after the other. Lachin. Therefore, right, left hand column, Lachin. Nitan lanu chodesh adar harishon, lahachnis es or simchas Hashem, lahair b'matzav shalmochin nekatnos. Therefore, the Mechaber is something so beautiful. He says, the role of Adar Aleph is to ease us into Simcha. The message of Adar Aleph is to say, okay, so the avod of Adar ultimately is Simcha. To find happiness. Good news, by the end of this month, you will be happy. Right? You've been wondering, when am I going to be happy? Good news, by the end of Adar, we're going to be happy. So why Adar Aleph, why Adar Beis? To teach us that Simcha is not instantaneous. Simcha is a process. And the avoda of Adar Aleph is to get us started on that journey of Simcha. Now you may ask, okay, but then shouldn't we have an Adar Aleph every single year? Okay, so remember, again, in Yiddishkeit, we have this concept that once you learn the lesson is embedded, and you don't necessarily need the tools for the lesson to be actualized each and every year. I don't need an Adar Aleph every year, because the entire avoda of Adar Aleph is to teach me I am not going to become instantaneously happy. Simcha is a process. Simcha is a ladder, and Simcha takes time. Once I know that, it's here. It's here. It's in my mind. It's in my heart. It's in my neshama. I know it. And once I know it, I have it with me, even if there's not an Adar Aleph each and every year. The mindset is endowed within us every month, every year that there is a leap year, and that carries us ultimately through the years that are not leap years as well. So what an incredible idea. That suddenly again we find ourselves in this month of Adar Aleph, where now again the entire avod of Adar in general is Simcha, and the specific and unique avod of Adar Aleph is to recognize that Simcha is incremental, Simcha goes in steps, Simcha is not instantaneous, Simcha is a process, Simcha is a journey. So first of all, that yisod by itself is worth the price of admission, right? The idea, so many of us go through life searching for Simcha, searching for happiness. And for whatever reason, we often operate with this illusion that it's like a switch that you just have to flick. And suddenly again, ta-da, I'm happy. I'm happy. And sometimes we go through life looking for that quick fix for Simcha. What's going to make me happy? And that's why people look in all the wrong directions, like all the wrong directions for Simcha, hoping that there's this thing, right? There's this quick fix for me to be happy. And the yisod that Adar Aleph teaches us is happiness is attainable for each of us. Happiness, we'll discuss what happiness is in just a moment. Happiness is attainable for each of us. But we also have to accept that happiness is not instantaneous. Happiness is a process. Happiness is a journey. Happiness often requires an Adar Aleph and an Adar Beis. And the entire hashkafa of Adar Aleph is that it takes time sometimes to get to that truly heightened level of Simcha. So we have to spend a few moments. So now we have to unpack this a little bit. Now that we have the model, the paradigm, so what do we do with it? So first of all, just a word about Simcha. A word about Simcha. Because often, when we use the word Simcha, we kind of throw a number of different words into Simcha, right? Simcha means joy, happiness, pleasure, enjoyment, right? And the truth is, all of those things are all great, but they're not all Simcha. Take a look at number 4. So I want to quote to you actually from an interesting section. This is from the Tochacha, Right, so the series of curses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and warns Klal Yisrael in the event that we do not adhere to the Torah and its obligations and its tenets. So remember again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ubo alecha kol hakfalo sa'ila urdafucha v'sigucha ad hishmidach, ad hishamdach, ki lo shamata v'kal Hashem alakecha l'shmar mitzosav v'chukosav asher tzivach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you don't listen to the Torah, all of these terrible things are going to occur. V'yabacha l'os l'mofes u'bizaracha ad olam. Okay, so this is all, again, we're not going to get into it tonight, but this is the whole series of curses, the tochacha, if we fail to follow in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something amazing. Why does a tochacha occur? Why does it occur? And look what he writes. This is source number 4, Pasuk Mem Zayin, verse 47. Tachas asher lo avaratas Hashem lokecha besimcha ubetuv levav mirov kol. Now, literally translated, why did this happen? Because you did not serve the Lord your God with happiness and with gladness of the heart when you had an abundance of everything. Okay, so Pashat Pshat, simple idea. Why do the curses occur? Why? We were ungrateful. We were ungrateful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us so much. We were never grateful for what we had. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, you're not grateful. I'll take it away. Right? A lack of gratitude. A lack of gratitude is what brings about the tocha. And remember again, nothing makes you appreciate the blessings in life like losing them. Suddenly, when you don't have those things that you had for such a long time, you're like, wow, that was fantastic, that was beautiful, that was great, I can't believe I ever took it for granted. But I think you could read the pasuk a little bit differently as well. Let's look inside of the pasuk for just a moment. So perhaps the way to read it is as follows. Tachas asher lo avaratas Hashem lokecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, do you know why tochacha occurs? Because you didn't take the time to create a relationship with me, the Ribon Shel Olam. There's a comma. Tachas asher lo avarta es Hashem Elokecha. Tochacha occurs because the greatest gift we have in this world is the ability to cultivate a relationship with the divine. The greatest gift we have in this world is the ability to forge a relationship with the Melech Malchei Hamelachim, the King of Kings, the Ribon Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and if you don't do that, because you didn't serve me, because you didn't forge a relationship, therefore, besimcha ubetuv levav merov kol. You missed out on a life of simcha. You missed out on a life of betuv levav, gladness of heart. And you missed out on a life of rov kol. You see, in Yiddishkeit, simcha is never derived from anything you own. And I want to be clear, you could have a lot of pleasure in things that you own, right? You have a nice house, that can give you pleasure. You take nice vacations, that can give you enjoyment. You have a lot of money, definitely makes life easier. You drive a luxury automobile, all the power to you. Those are all, well, great, enjoy. As long as you know that none of those things will bring you simcha. Simcha is the term that means a sense of elation, happiness, and completion that only comes from a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no other place in the universe to find simcha but with a relationship with Hashem. All that other stuff, which is fine. Remember, Judaism is not an ascetic religion, right? We don't preach that the only way to God and come close to God is to swear off material things. Just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a beautiful material world. And he didn't just create it for the nations of the world. He created it for us as well. We're supposed to enjoy it, but enjoy it responsibly. And of course, with some level of moderation. Enjoy it. Enjoy it all you want. But that's not where simcha comes from. Simcha only comes from one source. And that's from Avodas Hashem. And by the way, Avodas Hashem means the totality of Yiddishkeit. Avodas Hashem means being Adam Lamakom, our relationship with Hashem Baruch Hu, being Adam Lachaveiro, Chesed, Tzedakah. All of that is under the umbrella of Avodas Hashem. That is the only address for Simcha. By the way, you know where you see this all the time? This is all the time. You ever see like these Hollywood celebrities, right? Who have all of this stuff. They have all of this stuff. And then it's always interesting how like, you know, like they often turn to like these quirky cults, like religious stuff and things like this. And you wonder, like, honestly, like, why do you need to do that? Where they get like these Kabbalistic tattoos and things like that. It's always so interesting, right? You have more money that you could ever spend in most lifetimes. You have more stuff than you could ever possibly enjoy. Why? Because it's interesting. Because, you know, before you have all the stuff, you think that your simcha will come from all the stuff. And then when you have all the stuff and you still feel absolutely empty on the inside, you recognize that that sense of fulfillment is not going to come from any of the stuff. It's nice. It's enjoyable. And so it's interesting. It's like the nature of the neshama, both Jewish and non-Jewish, it's the nature of the neshama to want to find simcha in this world. The guf fools the neshama into thinking that simcha will come from stuff. But then once the guf has all of the stuff, the neshama's like, hey, guf, we have everything and we're not happy. Why are we not happy? Right? We have all the stuff, right? All the things we wanted, the car, the house, the vacations, the money, the covered oil. We have all of it. We have all of it. Why are we not happy? And the answer is because we have stuff, but we don't have simcha. Because simcha only comes from one specifically. It's the pasuk is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do you know why tochacha comes? You know, there's all different types of tochacha. There's tochacha that comes about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits punishments upon us. But a lot of times people live just in their own personal tochacha of unhappiness. So where does that tochacha of unhappiness come from? Tachas asher lo avartas Hashem Elokecha. If I don't take the time to carve out a meaningful religious identity, if I don't take the time to really go ahead and focus on relationship with Hashem Baruch Hu, then I deny myself of simcha, tov lev, and rov kol. I leave myself with nothing. So simcha, and this is incredibly important. Simcha, and that's why, by the way, Rabbi Nachman could say the words, mitzvah gedola lihios besimcha tamid. Right? You hear those words, right? And what do you think when you hear those words, especially if you're Hasidically challenged, right? Right? When you hear those words, right, what do you think to yourself? That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous, right? Maybe those guys like in Eretz Yisrael, you know, when you pull up to like a red light and you see a van next to you that's plastered with na na Nachman Mu'uman, you know what's going to happen. Somebody's getting out and dancing on the top. You're like, all right, that's good for those guys, right? But the rest of humanity, that's not going to work for us. But it does work. It works when you understand what Rabbi Nachman understood simcha was, which is what we're discussing tonight. Simcha doesn't necessarily mean a smile on your face. And simcha doesn't mean that, oh, you feel great and the birds are chirping and, right, everything is fantastic. Simcha means a profound sense of joy, elation, and fulfillment that comes from knowing that I have a meaningful relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. That's simcha. That's simcha. And by the way, this is incredibly important because in times in life when we are depressed and in times in life when we are down and in times in life when we are sad, we often attribute those feelings to a whole variety of different things that are happening. But often when we really delve inward, those feelings really come because my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in the place it needs to be. It doesn't mean that when that relationship is intact, you're all smiles and everything is great. Life is difficult. Life is challenging. We've seen David HaMelech week in and week out talk about this. But simcha comes from that unique relationship. So let's tie this all together. So take a look at number 5. One more piece of Rabbi Nachman, then we're going to tie it all together. Rabbi Nachman writes, here he says it. Mitzvah gedola, lios besimcha tamid. It is a mitzvah to be in a constant state of simcha. And remember again, like we said before, where does that simcha come from? That simcha comes from a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Now look what he writes. Uleiskaber ulaharchi ka'atzvus v'hamorah shechor b'chol kocho. The Rebbe says, you have to strengthen yourself. Look what he writes. To chase away, to distance the sadness and to chase away depression with all of your strength. With all of your strength. I will point out, you know, Rabbi Nachman writes about his own struggles with sadness. His own struggles with just profound sadness and what it means to feel that the world is such a dark place. And what it means to feel is that you're stuck and you can't get anywhere and you can't. And Rabbi Nachman writes about what it feels like. So when the Rebbe says this over here, he says, watch how he structures it. It is a mitzvah to be besimcha at all times. And how do you do that? He says a person has to lisgaber. You have to be a gibor. You have to be strong. Laharchika atzvos. To distance the sadness, to drive away, mara shchora literally means depression. The cholach cholos habon ala adam, kulon ba'in rak mikilkul hasimcha. The Rebbe says all negativity that you experience in life only is why? Because they don't have simcha. I don't have simcha. And I just want to point out, I know you know, but I'm going to say it. The Rebbe, of course, here is not referring to someone who, Rachmana Leslan, you know, struggles with clinical depression. We know, again, that mental health issues are just as real as physical health issues. So that we're moving that out of this for a little bit. They're talking about just stam, a stam person, right? All of us, even if Baruch Hashem in a general sense, my mental health is intact, but all of us struggle with periods of depression, and all of us struggle with periods of sadness and difficulty and overwhelming circumstances. And the Rebbe says, I have to be a gibor. I have to be a gibor to drive that away. Drive away the sadness. Drive away the depression. Why? Because if you don't, all the negative things that you experience in life are going to be a result of your lack of simcha. Now, that's a very loaded statement by itself, which we're not going to delve into right now. But I want to point out to you something really interesting, and it only hit me today when I was looking at this piece, that if you notice, the Rebbe really over here is really referring that there are two parts to simcha, right? There's what we would call the kumase, the positive things that we do in order to go ahead and create simcha, what I'll call the simcha amplifiers in life, right? What are the simcha amplifiers? That's Avodas Hashem. Anything you do to further your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both in the realm of Bein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam Lechavero, those are your simcha amplifiers. Those are the things that generate and create additional simcha. But the Rebbe is introducing something else which is really incredible, which is part of simcha is also identifying the things. What's getting in the way of your simcha? Right? What are the obstacles to your simcha? What are the things standing in the way of your avodas Hashem? What are the things standing in the way of your self-actualization? What are the obstacles? What are the mountains that are in front of you right now? The Rebbe says, simcha is not just about the things you're supposed to do. But at the end of the day, simcha is also about removing the obstacles that are keeping you from experiencing that simcha. So what are those obstacles? Those obstacles can manifest themselves in a variety of different ways. Right? Those obstacles could be negative character traits. Those obstacles could be negative toxic relationships. Those obstacles could be laziness. Those obstacles could be a whole variety of different things. But there's two parts to the actualization of simcha. There's the removal of the obstacles, and then ultimately, again, there's the amplifiers. There's the engaging in the dynamic activity that amplifies, that magnifies the simcha in my life. If we bring this full circle, now we understand other aleph and other beis. Right, the Sefer Yetzirah wrote that the entire avoda of Adar, right? What's the entire avoda? Let's go through, right? Every month has its midah. So what's the entire avoda of Adar? What's the avoda of Adar? Simcha. Simcha, right? Aye, so if it's simcha, then why are you Adar Aleph, Adar Beis? Why do I need both? Remember, what was the answer? Steps. To teach us that simcha is not instantaneous. Simcha is a process. Simcha is a journey. And maybe, if we bring this all together, maybe here's the journey. Maybe the avoda of Adar Aleph is the identification and removal of the obstacles to our simcha. Right? To be able to look at my life and to say, you know what? I want to be happy. Real simcha. Real simcha. Not like joy or pleasure or happiness, which are all great, all beautiful. But I want real simcha. And if I'm honest with myself, there are obstacles. I have obstacles to that simcha. And often all those obstacles, they live right inside of me. I could say it's other people, but it's not really other people, right? There are obstacles to simcha, they're inside of me. And maybe the avod of Adar Aleph ultimately is the removal, ultimately, again, of those obstacles. First of all, the identification of those obstacles, and then finding the courage to really remove them. Can you imagine deciding one day, you know what? I deserve to be happy. I feel like saying, repeat after me. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be simcha. I deserve it. Every person, we're made b'tzelem akim in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're made in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you deserve to be happy. So I deserve to be happy. I want it. I can say it. Magia li. I deserve to be happy. So why am I not happy? Why am I not happy? What is it? And the avod of Adar Aleph is to identify. So what is it? What is it that's holding me back? What is it that's broken? What is it that's misfiring? What is it that's not working? What is it that's short-circuited? What is it inside of me that is in a state of disrepair, that is an obstacle to my simcha? That's the avod of Adar Aleph. And if you have a successful Adar Aleph, then what? Then you go on to Adar Beis. And what's Adar Beis? Adar Beis is the month of Simcha amplifiers. Adar Beis is when we load up on our avodas Hashem. We'll talk about this more again in our pre-Purim shir. But remember, Purim is the most beautiful and incredible day, because remember again, Purim is the ultimate day where you have both Bein Adam L'Makom, heightened relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately again, Bein Adam L'Chavero. Right? I have them both. There is no other day on the calendar like Purim where you have such an amplification of both of these components of our Avodas Hashem. No other day. Think about it for just a moment, right? When you think about, what's the holiest day of the year? Holiest day of the year? Yom Kippur. What is that? Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chavero. Makom. There is no Ben Adam L'Chavero on Yom Kippur. Right? There's no Ben Adam. You know, maybe just don't fall asleep on your friend's shoulder during Musaf, Chazar HaShas. Right? That's your, there's no, you're on shul the whole day. You're davening the whole day. There, Yom Kippur is Ben Adam L'Makom. And in fact, again, that's why if you have Ben Adam L'Chavero issues that you need to resolve, that's why you have Aseres Yimei Tshuva to resolve your Ben Adam L'Chavero. Purim is the only day. Purim is the only day where there is an incredible intensity of both Ben Adam L'Makom and Adam L'Chavero. Why? Because Purim, we're going to see, is the ultimate paradigmatic day of Avodas Hashem. But again, we'll get to that. So Adar Beis, Purim, that's the time for Simcha amplifiers. That's time when we think about, what more could I be doing in my life? What more could I be adding? How could I increase my Avodas Hashem and up my Simcha? But Adar Beis only works if you have a successful Adar Aleph. Because if you don't remove the obstacles and you don't repair the stuff that's broken inside, you'll never feel that simcha. You can add on and pile on as much stuff as you want. You know, it's like taking a house with a rickety foundation. You could put in the most beautiful countertops and the most incredible cabinets and have the most magnificent furniture, and outside it looks beautiful. But that's going to fall down. It's going to just crumble upon itself any moment because the foundation is not solid. Without an Adar Aleph and the Simcha that comes from removal of the obstacles, the Adar Beis is going to be deficient. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, so you see what's happening over here? So what happens to Adar Aleph? What should you do on this Friday and Shabbos? What should you do? So it's a discussion. You can see, by the way, the halacha is not sure. A lot of Simcha, a little bit of Simcha. Bottom line is celebrate. Celebrate. You want to have a big Suda, small Suda, a lot of Suda, invite people, don't invite people. That's up to you. That's on you. But make sure you celebrate Purim Katan in the most important way, which is take some time out on this Friday and this Shabbos, one of those days, both of those days. Find a few minutes. I know Erev Shabbos is not the time that generally lends itself to like his bodidos and quiet time, being alone with oneself. So maybe it's Shabbos. Or maybe it's late on Shabbos night after everything else is quiet, to take the time to think about, Mishenichnas Adar Marbe B'Simcha, I deserve to be happy. And I want to be happy. And I'm tired of always feeling unhappy, even if I have so much stuff in life. I want to feel happy. So I'm going to maximize my Adav. I'm going to maximize my Purim Katan. I'm going to find the courage to identify the things that are broken. And I'm going to remove the obstacles to Simcha. And if I have a successful Adar Aleph, then Emirat Hashem, when Adar Beis comes around, then I'll really be able to up my game. Then Emirat Hashem, I'll start with all the Simcha amplifiers. I'll add on more to my Bein Adam L'Makom, more to my Bein Adam L'Chavero. And then, by the time this unit of Adar closes out, Emirat Hashem, I'll be Zocha to finally be happy. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. Again, next week, Emirat Hashem, we will continue with Sefer Tehillim. And then probably the week after that, we'll do our pre-Purim Shem, Yatz Hashem. Okay. Yeah.